You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
The Hardcore Podcast that's currently being recorded to the cloud. We're going to have to talk about that, Tom, because I don't, it's a conversation that happens with Eric and I all the time that we don't actually know what that means in terms of Zoom. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom from IT.
Yeah, I also do not know what recording to the cloud means other than it's being recorded not on a local drive. So
just send it to the cloud, bro.
I'm just shocked.
It's in the cloud.
I'm shocked that we trust it. We trust that?
I trust nothing.
Mm. Okay.
All right. But meanwhile, I'm going to have to send it to you, even if I download it, if I record it locally.
That's true.
It's still going on the cloud.
That's true. All right.
I suppose it's going on a cloud. Let's go to the cloud. I'm going to talk some fucking hardcore this week. Let's go.
Let's do this. Patrick, do you think that our fine purveyors at Convulse Records record to the cloud?
I don't see that as their style.
Do you think that our fine purveyors at To Live a Lie record to the cloud?
I couldn't see it.
Do you think that our fine purveyors at Closed Casket Activities record to the cloud?
There's no chance.
Do you think that our fine purveyors at Run for Cover Records record to the cloud?
Under no circumstance.
But here we are, recording to the cloud.
Why are we charging ourselves here?
Well, you know, sometimes you got
to... Run for Cover seems like current. I feel like those dudes, like, they record to the cloud.
Yeah, they might.
They might.
Like, To Live a Lie is full on, like, those, like, the not the big floppy disks, but, like, the 3.5, like, ones.
I'm seeing the 70 millimeter film from Oppenheimer. That's what I'm seeing. They need that for that spy joint.
Can I ask you guys a question? Are there dudes that you want to discuss things with that normally you kick it in an email or a text, but you really want to go in and talk a little bit of shit and they're professional and you don't want to put them in a situation where there's a paper trail? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, like, so Run for Cover, I so want to have a conversation with those dudes about something really specific that I think it'll be good natured. It'll be like clowny.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be shitting on somebody, but not, you know, not in a way.
Yeah. But you can't. Yeah. But you don't want, you know, that you putting that in the email to them, even them receiving that, puts them in a bad spot.
Yeah. Puts that exactly right. So I'm looking forward to getting on the phone with them next time so I can be like, hey, what the fuck is up with
X, Y, or Z? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yo, Run for Cover, runforcoverrecords.com. We love them. We got them. You might even say that we embrace them.
Mm.
Because today we're talking about the One Step Closer new LP, All You Embrace. This is the their second LP, which is really rad. What can I say about this band? Dudes who are incredible, very sweethearts, who are, even from the first time I met them, I'm like, oh, these are like the young dude hardcore guys, but they love music. They, like, full on love music, student of the game, really kind of that we want to feel out and test the studio space and see where we go sonically. And I think you're seeing that on this LP. I think you're seeing these guys kind of showcase their roots of where they grew up, which is, you know, northeastern Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre, which, look, to anyone who's outside the hardcore sphere, the idea that it's like, oh yeah, you know, like that really rich, diverse musical landscape of of steel country, of coal country, Pennsylvania. Yeah. But here we are. So that's what I think you're getting on All You Embrace. It's really neat. Haven't talked to these dudes in a minute, but I got so much love for them. They're killing it on this tour with Anxious and Koyo. And this LP, I love the art, and I can't wait to see what the whole thing looks like in hand. So everyone should go pre-order it. Yeah, right? Like, this is cool. This is a band who has been going at it for a minute. And I think this is, like, one of those pieces where it's if you know them, it's this has been where they've been aiming to go for a while. And sure. I think they kind of hit it. So that's cool.
You know? I watched them over the weekend on the internet, and they still play like a hardcore band.
Hell yeah. So 100%. Everybody go check this out, All You Embrace. Still some of the rare versions out. And for those who are super frisky, go get that Magic Circle, RFC Magic Circle vinyl subscription. I speak as a member. It's a really good deal. Three releases for $90, six releases for $165, or you can get the next 12 for $300. You might gulp a little bit and go, $300. Yeah, that means you're getting their next 12 records shipped to you. Don't think about it. And by the way, it's a version out of 100. I paid for my subscription if I want to divest myself from the rarest version of the new Fiddlehead record, which I don't, but you know what I mean? It's a good investment. So
right. Over the course of 12 months, it's $25 a month. You're not buying a record? Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, also, I'd like to point out that Interscope Records is copying this idea.
Interscope, those fuckers.
And doing the same, and it's all on tiers. It's like, well, you could pay 1 month for 40.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want all of them, it's a lot more than Run for Cover. But it's like, if you want the Helmet record that's coming out in June, you might want to join now. It's a scam, and it's not a scam when Run for Cover does it.
Hell yeah. So
actually good shit. It's proven. Interscope isn't proven. Run for Cover is true. Goodness.
What's Interscope done in the last 30 years? So shout out to Run for Cover. They got some cool projects going on. Jeff, I got an email going back to you. I promise it won't be offensive. Let's talk. Runforcoverrecords.com. Go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
Swinging across 90, heading westward. Facing westward, stabbing westward. We're stabbing westward.
Stabbing westward.
Can I do a callback?
Please.
Pat, what do they call I-90 in when you're going from Run for Cover to Troy, New York? That's
right. The Mass Pike.
Whoa. That's tour type, Patrick. Oh my God.
Wow, man. Like, you are.
I think he was like, wait, I'm going to go from an A sharp to a B minor here. Hold on.
Wow. Was that vibrato? It was unbelievable.
It was beautiful. Closedcasketactivities.com. Closedcasketactivities.com. Guys, we're going to throw it back in another way today. We're going to the catalog. We're going merch shopping. We need some fresh gear. Got a lot going on coming up. I need some clean new shirts. We're all going to pick something. Patrick, I don't know if you have access to the internet other than on the device you're recording on. What do you want to get? What you trying to buy right now? What shirt, long sleeve, hoodie? You tell me. I'll help pick one out for you.
Does Skinhead have a long sleeve?
Ooh, yes. They have a long sleeve, and it's in the top of the new gear. It's right there. It's one of the best ones.
All right, count me in.
I just going to have to do another 1,000 push-ups for you. He earns this one.
You know what?
You know, can I say something?
Go.
I saw myself in the mirror the other day.
Mm.
Killing it. Killing it.
You're doing great.
I was gonna respect on his name. I don't think he needs to he just needs to do that the pre pump. You know, like, oh, I'm gonna go take a picture. Let me lift a bunch of weights to look like veiny and like big.
Right. Like what people do right before stage. Like, yeah, you just do
it. That's right.
Arms
right.
Good
That's
pictures.
Right.
Got it.
So Patrick's getting the Skinhead Respects Nothing long sleeve. Literally, I couldn't have imagined a better long sleeve for Patrick.
Yeah, no shit. I'd
Sleeve Print says Respects Nothing, and then find out if we're bluffing on the other one. Oh, what a wonderful one. It's really good.
Get ordered in now.
All right, and Tom, where are you going? What are you getting right now?
You know, I like this Full of Hell and Nothing embroidered crew neck.
Ooh, gotta love that embroidery.
I appreciate that. It's beautiful, and I like the color. I'm colorblind as hell, but I'm going to say it's light blue.
I think you're right. No, that's correct. That's correct.
A hand-drawn burn design by Jackson Green, stitch on a champion crew neck.
Yeah.
You had me a champion.
Yeah, you know what? I'm all in. You guys are doing great stuff. That's two really solid picks. I'm trying to go a little classical. I'm looking for it. There's some good new stuff. Man, oh, RJC, this is what I wanted. CCA Army Green Troy hoodie. So it's the Army Green hoodie, yeah. The classic closed casket, Troy, New York. Just repping. Shout out to, as discussed recently, one of the labels that consistently puts out records that reflect not just that they care that the music's good, that they care the product's good. They want you to see it and go, wow, and be impressed with it. So shout out to the CCA team for doing that, and I will always be psyched to rep them. So closecasketactivities.com, go do it yourself. Boys, how you doing? How you feeling?
Yo, before we start, can I interrupt?
Of course.
We would be remiss to not say RIP to Cola Boy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Passed away last week after we recorded. And Mike Down from Amenity also passed away over the weekend.
Yes.
Oh, and I know, yeah, he was super important to a lot of friends of mine and very, you know, was a friend to a lot of friends of mine and who are all hurting. So RIP to him. I know he's had, you know, I read, you know, a little bit more about like his history and just the impact that he had on like the artwork and stuff and how 7 inches and stuff, like people, like the whole, like, you know, thing that we all grew up in the, like, I'm buying a 7-inch that's in like a manila folder.
Yeah.
Or manila oval. Yep. Like he had a huge impact on that. And like he put out the first Heroin 7-inch, who then did Gravity, who did, you know, a bunch of like that kind of like
that elk. Yeah. Yeah.
Just changed the way it's like you could buy like a 7-inch, like the artwork for a 7-inch looked different.
Yeah.
After that, it wasn't just, you know, a photocopied flyer or whatever.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Made a huge difference. So. RIP to both of those folks out in I know a lot of people in California hurting, so.
Yeah, I want to say on two things. Amenity is a band who definitely doesn't get their shine. Very cool. If you like late 80s hardcore, if you like kind of melodic 80s hardcore, I think it's worth your time and attention. Not someone I knew personally, but who... secondhand, third hand, whatever you want to call it, impacted a lot of stuff I liked. And from the stuff I've read, he always had this DIY mentality. He's one of those folks who embodied hardcore that I grew up with. And a lot of respect, a lot of love, and saw a lot of people posting really cool stuff. So do yourself a favor and check out some of the things he created and put out in this world. That's a good way to celebrate someone's life.
Absolutely.
And I want to say about Cola Boy. Respect in a modernized version of what I just said about Mike. He is someone who I did not know, but I knew and had met a couple times because he's someone who, from what I understand, was going to the Sound and Furies we did way, way back. And when I saw his face, I was like, oh, of course, that him, that guy, right? You know what I mean? We all have people like that. Who we don't know, but you saw the show or you interacted with, and I remember interacting with him a couple times. And he got to play Sound and Fury a few years ago. I know he had kind of a nice little, it's like little is a relative word because his impact was pretty, he was noted as an artist doing something really unique. And it's just cool. It's cool to see people do that. And it's very sad to see that loss and see how it hurts people in a community. And also just that that voice is not heard anymore. So, again, same advice. Celebrate this person by listening to their work, listening to the things they did. Whether it's your first time or whether you're revisiting or celebrating it as you would have before. Check it out.
Can I expand? Can I jump a topic?
Jump a topic, Matt.
By expanding on when you were saying DIY mentality.
Mm.
What's your familiarity with the band Super Crush?
No, significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's Mark Palm from He was in the hardcore band Go It Alone a long time ago, and Supercrush has been doing their thing for years now, and they're like low-key one of the coolest bands you could probably see playing very small rooms. And not to say that's going to last forever. I think they will, but I've seen them do a bunch of very DIY stuff, including play like small record stores. And
yeah. So thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. Tom, are you a fan?
Yes. This is also the dude that was in Black Breath, right?
That's right.
Am I making that up?
No, that could be. There you go. Wouldn't be surprised if there were other members who shared time there too, you know?
And I believe Devotion, whatever. Anyway, he's done a lot of stuff, very musical guy. Now, here's what's interesting to me. They came up as a topic of conversation in a room I was in the other day. And I, forgive me, Mark, being somewhat ignorant as to where their career has gone, right? Because I was familiar with the early stuff. I said, oh, yeah, what's going on with Supercrush? They had so much like excitement out the gate because the music was so different and so expertly delivered, right? So for people that don't know, it's
power pop. Right?
Yeah, people, I mean, yeah, it is.
So you know how they're doing the whole grunge gaze thing? It's like power pop post grunge kind of thing to me because there's some riffing, but it's really nice music.
Yeah, it's Lemonheads, not the Kinks. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't know, and I said, "What?" "What's he up to?" And this person who loves Mark very much, said he's being too fucking straight edge for his own good. And I said, "What's that mean?" And he said, "What he meant by it was, Mark has a way of doing things that he's unwilling to bend on." And in this person's estimation, and after listening to their spiel, perhaps mine too, it might be holding the band back. And I wanted to talk about this idea that you could be held back if your intentions are the thing you're doing, right? Like, it's an interesting conversation to me because if you are doing things exactly as you want them done, nobody can really say you're being held back.
Right.
However, this life is not anything other than a bunch of trade-offs that you're making at all times. And in the way that we saw bands like Jell and Scowl say, we don't want to be playing South by Southwest, you know, we could argue in 2024, it's not a huge trade-off, it's whatever. But the principle is there. It's a trade-off in principle. And Mark, my understanding is, he just wants to do certain aspects of his band the way that he wants to do them, which is himself. And as a result, perhaps, they play, and they, Mark, there's no disrespect, and everybody, I don't know Mark. I met Mark like four times in my life. We're pleasant. You know, I feel like
we're... Correct. I have met this guy a rip of times. I was a Go It Alone fan supporter. I have not seen this man in 15 years probably. So, yeah.
Yeah. But it's all love. It's just, they're playing smaller rooms than they should, quote unquote. That's the thesis here.
Right.
Because what they are doing...
People's perception is they could be playing bigger rooms with little effort or change from the outside.
Oh, literally zero change to their sound, which is not big room by nature, but is so well done that it just, there's no reason on earth that it couldn't be the premier thing in its category.
Yeah, and right? So if anyone hadn't heard Supercrush just in the sound of our voices, stop here, go listen to a couple songs, you'll nod your head and go, yeah, these guys are right. Whether it's your style or not, you'll hear it and go, oh, honestly, much in the way I dare anyone to listen to Webbed Wing or Super Heaven, who's finally getting their moment from an odd circumstance. Even if you don't like it, you hear it and go, oh, this is like beautifully crafted version of this music. So continue. Sorry.
So as we've discussed, I have things that I stand on that I don't, that I'm not cool with. And it's not honestly strong feelings. It's just, I think that's lame, quote unquote, right? But as I get older and I'm responsible for a family, my girlfriend gets a greater vote in what I'm comfortable with, right? Because things that I think are lame are not, that can't be the measure for feeding a family. You could, if you're against something, if you say I'm not willing to stand on that, that's bad. That's okay. That's one thing. Right. But if you say now, that's not
like, right. If you want to get sponsored by like a fucking steak company, like okay, you're standing on some kind of policy. Yeah. But yeah. If it's like, I think that's corny. It's like, well, your street cred ain't paying the cable bill, son.
That's exactly right. So
when you're having this conversation, what do you like? When does the self-defense register in your brain with this?
Well, self-defense is going to be releasing a new record probably at the end of this year.
Sure. Maybe good. Beginning of next year. Glad to hear that. Yeah.
Maybe beginning of next year. Demos before that. But the, you know, it's
the
not
gist of the conversation applied to yourself, though. Yes.
Yeah, right. It's not, well, this is where I'm going. It's not going to be offensive per se. But it will be, it's not easy, right? It's not, like Drum Church is very approachable, very likable. And I think self-defense, despite having some fans, is probably, the other way of doing things. And, you know, I thought about it and I'm not making excuses for myself at all. You know, I mean, people can, it's fine. I'm not easy to offend, but I don't think the self-defense has a broader market. And like what we've achieved up to this point is pretty remarkable for what we do. Mark is doing something that I think could fill the rooms that, you know, it's an 800 cap band to me. To my ear, it's an 800 cap band. And
oh, I mean, they have tracks you go, wait, yes, correct. Yes, they could be playing direct support on any number of tours you could imagine. Playing for a lot of, they just are an impressive band, and you listen to the records, and clearly it could be very accessible. Yes.
So I'm just.
But if their decision is to not be that.
Yeah, then it's success.
That's right, and that so that's cooked into some of your shit, right? Is the idea of self defense not playing 800, right?
I mean, we're not against it, but there's just we've said no to more than we said yes to. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
Here's my point. Here's my point is, without being disrespectful to our meat and potato listener that's here for us every week, but isn't it interesting that Mark, who is a hardcore kid, no longer he's not playing anything close to hardcore and Super Crush. It's just got guitars. That's it. But he is more DIY than the real vast majority of hardcore kids that I speak to in 2024. and here's my question, I guess. I'm blooming from one question to the next. Is that just because, you know, I think I met Mark at a house show in Germany in, you know, in 2003 or something, you know? So
sure.
My question is Mark, is he of a generation? Is that what's responsible for this DIY thing? Or are there a ton of young people that are really committed to DIY and they're just not performing? We're just not aware of it for whatever reason.
Well,
I think it's our generation.
Okay. I want you to go into that for a second.
Yeah.
I also will, before I get mine, part of it might be the types of hardcore kids you're circling with right now, because there can be different circles in different places at the same time, right? You know what I mean? So you're currently on a big tour. You've been on some bigger tours.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? So no,
Bob, I understand where you're going. I understand where you're going, but and I know who you're shooting bail to. But
who, you?
I'm just gonna
I'm shooting bail to you.
No. You're low key defending the basement kids as still being DIY,
Oh, what? No. Well, so what I'm trying to do is acknowledge that I think, and I'm speaking as someone who's not in those rooms either, I think there are rooms that neither of us, and Tom largely probably not either, that we're not in, where there is a bit more of the DIY. Though, even when I say that, I'm saying that from a speculative way. From like, yo, I think there is some of this. I don't know that it exists in the exact same way, which is why I'd like Tom to go into his generational thing. Because I do think there's a little bit of difference. And I'll go to some roots on that. So,
Real quick, crust festivals have beer sponsorships. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different world. It's a different world.
That's right. Tom, you said generational. Let's talk about it, because I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, I don't think punk rock guilt doesn't exist in 2024. Even the most, like, Trustkill, metalcore, you know, half hardcore thinks it's the best thing ever and half hardcore hates it more than anything. Every one of those bands would have been like, you know, if you know, fucking Gatorade came to some random Trustkill or Ferret band and was like, we'll sponsor you for a full tour. Every last one of those dudes would probably be like, I don't know. And then it'd be, you know, it somehow ties back to Philip Morris or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like almost anyone would have pause, even like the most non-DIY, non-basement band, you know, fucking, 20 years ago when Mark was coming up. So I think that's like baked into like almost all of our hardcore DNA, is that like we're always like, we don't begrudge. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody getting paid.
Right.
But I don't know if it's necessarily something that I would have ever done. You know, and I think the same thing with him. He's sort of like, you know, he's lived this way his whole life. You know,
I mean, think about bands,
even our lovely co-host.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker had to be kicked, you know, dragged, kicking and screaming into the fucking punk rock mainstream, for Christ's sake. This dude was not ready to be like, you know, fuck the scene, where's the green? You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude, you know, he won't say this, and I'm going to throw him under the fucking bus. Because I know him well enough. Given his druthers, he would probably suffer making no money doing fucking self-defense family. Right? Is that what they're called? Right? I was calling them fucking end of a year. I was calling them something else the other, like, I mean, that's my own senility. But
it's all right. They had a few other. I call them Barf Spectrum. It's all right.
But I feel like, given his druthers with no external pressure or anything, he would still be the motherfucker singing over fucking whale sounds.
Even more than that, if neither of the bands you were in were making a dime, it wouldn't stop you from doing those bands. Is that right, Patrick?
That's correct.
Like it. You love it. It's a passion. Now, there are responsibilities
that change that.
Sure.
Right. If you had to work as a garbage man to put meals on the table, you know, doing the 30-day tour might not be possible, but I think you'd still
you'd still be getting an album a year.
Yeah, you'd still be trying. You're having those conversations, daydreaming on the back of the truck. So I agree largely. I think what you said that was a good point was the punk rock guilt. Look, there's a band from the mid-2000s. It was fucked up. Came from the DIYest of DIY scenes. And like, yo, look, if you look at that band's career and what they do now still, like, they are very involved in all the things that happen with their band to this day. Like, they were huge. They were the, like, hipster, hardcore, punk rock darlings. And then after
that, rock darlings.
Right. And then what comes after that? And they keep doing it and still doing this thing because they love it. I don't know their bank accounts. I don't know any of that. I'm not going to speculate, but I have to imagine that in 2000, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, they probably were getting larger checks to play shows than they are now. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But what I will say is that's a band who in 2005, 6, 7 started getting weird opportunities and weird requests.
I'm knocking.
And weird stuff like, hey, do you want to play this thing? And what I always respected was they said, they asked the question of themselves as a collective and as of people is like, why would we say no to this? What are we saying no to? And do any of us have a problem with it? And like, yo, full stop. There are things those dudes, like, it's fuzzy, but there was a Rolling Stone ad that I believe Philip Morris had a big hand in that had them among a bunch of other indie bands listed. And they were like, yo, fuck this. Why is this band using our name and likeness in their advertising? And there's this big hubbub. And so, and they made a big stink about it. You know, they were like, yo, we aren't with that. We aren't about that. But I think they challenged some of those ideas of like punk rock guilt. You know, I think it's there. And they're not the only band. They're not the first, and they certainly are not the last of it. But I think it started making people think about what are these things? What do we care about? What is okay? What is not okay? Generationally, you move forward. And, you know, you guys can tell me just when were those Scion festivals? 2009, 10, 11, somewhere in there?
Probably.
Yeah, somewhere.
Right. And look, again, I didn't go to any of those. I knew the fella who was a part of that because he was working for Scion. And he saw it as a cool way to basically divest some money from there to over here, you know?
Right.
And a bunch of bands got a bag, and I don't know how many Scions were spoiled because of the festivals.
Yeah, how many Mastodon fans are driving around in a fucking Scion? Because, yeah.
That's right.
Right, like, man, that show was great. Oh, I got to get this.
Apparently the socks were great. Scion socks were, like, our stuff of, like, legend.
So
got to be better. Got to be better than the Live Nation ones.
So
you're not into the Live Nation socks?
No, they're too tall. I don't fuck with tall socks.
You're on some penny. Yeah, no. That's I think 90s victim on that. I like very short socks.
Yeah.
So anyways, the story is money started coming in from different places and people are asking these questions of like, am I bothered by this? Do I care? Do I not? Look, if you ask me, and I'll ask you guys this question because I know my answer. Without detail, a yes or no answer, is it good that what we say, what we're kind of identifying as punk rock guilt doesn't exist? Is it good that it doesn't exist anymore?
Oh.
Yes or no? Just give a yes or no. I know it is. I'm going to give mine. I'm a yes. There's caveats out the door.
Yeah, I'm a very slight no. I'm a very slight no.
Okay, Tom.
I think I'm with Pat. I'm a very slight no.
So I'm a yes because I think mentally as a human, it sucked. Because there was a lot of people saying no to things. On all these other levels, though, I fucking hate it. I hate it that it is tying art and something I love and creativity and expression and all these things that I value as a very outside of pay-for-play shit. And hopefully our ad drops in right here, halfway through the sentence, you know? But I hate it that it gets in the way of that or is tied in. And at the same time, I'm also like, yeah, I agree with every 20-year-old who's like, get that bag, king. Get that bag, sis.
Well, that's worse.
And at the other side,
yeah,
I'm sad that they think that's the goal because, yo, there's a joy and a pleasure in that, like, yeah, there. How many bands did you love coming up? And people, the bands you love from 10, 15, 20 years ago, their first tour, they're coming home in the negatives. Some of the bands that you see as giant were coming home in the negative. And like, it's cool. It's like, that was the expectation. And now that's maybe not the expectation. And that's okay that it's not. But there's
breaking even is not a thing anymore. Like, it's like, nobody wants to just break even. Like, I remember, like you're saying, like, I remember like when the decision we got on tour is I'd go to the bank and take out $500 in cash.
Yep. To make it through.
right. to make it through the month, the 2 months that we're going to be out, not making any fucking money. You know what I mean? Well, like, because
all my friends in bands, you were working extra in the months leading up to squirrel away enough to pay your rent while you were gone and to have something to buy food because you weren't getting per diems.
Right. And like ATM, I mean, the 90s, the ATMs weren't as pervasive.
Yeah.
And everywhere as they are now. But like back then, it was sort of like, I'd have cash.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Dude. As a total aside, people, I saw some video where it was like from the early 90s where it was like, oh, this Burger King accepts credit cards now. So just chew on that. The idea that like there were a major fast food chain where it was like, local news, like, they accept credit cards now. And the customers being interviewed were like, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. So anyways.
I don't know how much I can say because I'm maybe a little outside of, I don't know if this discussion has taken place in public yet. But there's a couple of the bands that are, I guess, debating dropping, maybe have dropped a couple other festivals for reasons. And it's been on my mind because there's things I really care about, and that is not at all one of them. Like, it is not, like, I don't audit promoters, and I never will. And there's a number of reasons for that. One of them being the sheer practical matter that I've met a lot of fucking sketchy people who are promoters. Not all of them, obviously. But it is, I mean, it's a business that used to exist as a like money laundering for drugs. It is not for reputable people. So like when you ask me, you'd play for that dude? I don't know that dude. I'm not playing for him. I'm playing for the X amount of human beings who are in attendance that day. You know what I mean? I'm very, as much as a fucking blowhard as Rollins is, I'm very Rollins on this, which is, it's another gig. What's Lollapalooza? It's another gig. You know what I mean? It's another opportunity to do what I do in front of human beings. That's it. So,
very Vince McMahon. Like, that's Vince McMahon. People, like, stuff came out like, oh, this guy was like an awful human being to his employees and to women and to everything else. Business just got no one stopped going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like when they're like, he's taking blood money from different places to whitewash, you know, or clean the reputation of certain like countries and all sort of stuff.
Yep.
Like, you know, a couple of people would be like, you know, some wrestlers would be like, I'm not going to go there. Like, that's cool. You know, or like, so, you know, people would complain about it. But like, dude's still drawing 15,000 people every night. Like, I mean, I think it's, it's good. I mean, this is a scumbag beyond compare. Like, this is
Tom, let's put it in perspective though. Nobody in our listenership is old enough to remember I Don't Want to Play Sun City, right?
This is not song in the last couple of months.
Did you
give context, Patrick? Yeah,
it popped into my head and I was like, oh, like I don't know why. I might have been watching, like, it might have been around Christmas when they was watching Do They Know It's Christmas Time? Like, when it's like, I watched that. I watched We're All in the Same Gang. I watched Self-Destruction. Like, all the videos of, like, when you would get all the fake, like, that. When was the last time you had, like, every famous person on a song to raise money?
Yeah, okay, so it's been a long time. So, unless you count the cover of Imagine during COVID.
I was waiting for you to bring it up. Patrick's on that, on like the third verse.
My favorite one is the Hey Now You're a Rock Star. That was all hardcore band members.
What? Oh, shit.
Remember that one that Colin put together? Colin Young? It's one of my favorite.
No.
You don't remember that?
I do not remember that.
Yo, no. Hardlore, put that in your intro next time. We want to hear the intro.
It's fucking hilarious because it's got his everybody, and it ends with Britty from
Pity Sex.
For Pity Sex, like, singing, and she's like, honestly, the only person that can really sing on the whole thing. And she goes, Colin, why am I the only one? And it cuts off.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really, really great. It's hilarious. It's a wonderful thing. Yes. Way better than the one that was put together by like these self-important dorks.
So you're saying, Patrick.
Okay.
Yes.
So what Tom was talking about, what Tom is talking about is, for our younger listeners, there was an era where benefit records could be put together. You'd organize the biggest celebrities in the world, not all singers. You just have Whoopi Goldberg in there for no fucking reason. And you just organize these people together. You'd have Rick Derringer ghostwrite the song. And then you would sell a great volume of them around Christmas. Now, as it turns out, England still does this. They do a yearly Christmas sort of, they have comedians sing over pop songs, and it's for charities, and people buy it, which is totally bizarre. But everybody, this was a thing, particularly in the 1980s.
You know what? It was memed in the last year or two because there was a famous picture of Bob Dylan going around at one of these recordings that he looks fucking zonked out of his fucking face on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another funny part is sometimes you'd organize like Ozzy Osbourne to do like an anti-drug one. So Hands Across America, fucking live. Live Aid.
Farm Aid.
Yeah, Live Aid was the event. At any rate.
Yeah.
So these songs, everybody. Sun City, I think it's parenthetical. I don't want to play Sun City, maybe. Look it up. I think it was put together by Little Steven, maybe.
Yep.
But it was about bands were being offered shows in apartheid South Africa at a casino called Sun City. And a number of bands played it, maybe including Ozzy, I don't know. But a number of artists got behind the Little Steven initiative to not take the money and to say, hey, to make the song, hey, we're not playing your casino as long as it remains segregated. Now, there is not a person in the sound of my voice, I hope, who does not see that as a valid point of protest, that there should not be a segregated casino and you should not feel comfortable playing it if such a thing does exist, right? So, but that would be on the extreme end, right? Now, is my life just a series of trade-offs where up until that point, I am comfortable playing these things that I see as just another gig? And what is my cutoff point where I go, oh, no, come on, brother. I'm not playing your segregated fucking casino. But the shows that these people are, again, I don't want to give away too much. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But that they're going to drop are because of the military-industrial complex's presence at these events, right? Much in the same way that people had a problem with the South.
And it's more than presence. It's sponsorship, right?
Well, so there's sponsorship plus...
It was sponsorship.
Yes. So a lot of these events, you'll see recruiting stations, or at least you used to. I don't know if that's still a thing, but at festivals in the past, if you went to like a radio rock festival, there might be a military recruiter somewhere there. Now, I don't, you know, you're talking to me, a guy who is not confident nations should have militaries. You know what I mean? You're talking to a guy who's maybe a little fringe in this. But you're also talking to a guy who travels the United States for several months a year, every year, for his entire adult life. And as a result, I talk to all different sorts of people, including people who have made their careers or made their education or made their way out of a bad situation by being in the military. And their involvement with this thing that I think is not great, it's not the only thing that can be said about them. Yeah, sorry to our dreadlock Mohawk contingency here who sees that person as inherently a butcher of children. I'm actually quite sympathetic to that perspective as a kind of a guidepost of some type. But it's not the facts on the ground You understand? And I don't have this knee jerk because I've spoken to all sorts of people. I have friends and people I care about that are all sorts of people. I do not have this knee jerk reaction to saying that because you are involved with the military that you're inherently a bad person. And with all that said, and I don't even, by the way, everybody, so that we're clear, I'm not even necessarily talking about, oh, like the guy that's getting exploited because he's poor. I don't even need to put that caveat on.
No,
I don't even need to say that. Full stop. And so, now, does that mean I want to promote joining the fucking military? No, I don't want to promote that in any way. However, simple question: is me being in the room, playing my little music, which is just an act of self-expression in exchange for money, is that promoting the military? Could be argued. You know what I mean? So everybody, as we've talked about on previous episodes, everybody's got their line. It's just all kicking around in my head as I'm hearing these bands are going to be maybe pulling off of some events and also talking about Mark. It's just everybody has their way of doing things. And this is and perhaps I'm a total sellout and I'm playing the fucking, Outback Steakhouse fucking arena or whatever. But
he'll be here all
stuff
week.
That's on my mind.
Well, I mean, the root question and conversation is a really good one. It's something I think about because, like, DIY skepticism, the skepticism of what's coming in and touching what you're doing. You know, like, look, we can always pull the hypocrisies, even from 20 years ago. It's like, oh, well, you know, certain bands don't want to have their records sold through major label distribution, but they're still figuring out, you know, they're still putting their records in chain stores. And, you know, like, what's the point if you're going to, what's the point of not putting it through Sony if you're going to have it on the same end cap as the Sony releases? And da 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 da. And, you know, you can always pull those strings. But there was this checks and balances that was quite annoying sometimes, to be really honest. There was always this check and balance of the person who seemed like literally there was no DIY level enough. It was like, well, I saw the manila envelopes you used for the 7-inch. I saw you bought those at Staples. I don't. Maybe you shouldn't.
McClard's not happy with this.
Yeah, like, I don't. Maybe you should have used a non-chain store for your paper products. You know, like, maybe you could have found a mom and pop. So, anyways, it seemed like there was always that person hanging around the corner to, like, well, actually, at you. However,
which still happens.
Still happens.
Yeah, it still happens
in different ways. It's a whole fucking Twitter. Yeah.
Yep.
Whoa. Redirected energy. Oof. There's a part of me that misses some of the checks and balance because, for the most part, there's, like I said, greater good. I'm glad that punk guilt it doesn't exist in the same way as it once did. But I do like the idea, like, look, yo, we're the first people to celebrate Turnstile success. At the same time, there's a part of me that wants there to be some shit kicker 18-year-olds who's like, Fuck that band, fuck what they're about, bah, 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 all that nonsense.
Yeah, because
they just don't process that information, you know?
Yes, and currently there is one, you know? I saw him online, but here's the... Okay, so let's talk about it, actually. So let's do the... we'll spin off into internet talk for a second. Is that cool?
Oh, let's go.
So, we're going to talk about Twitter again?
Yeah. Because there's two things that need to be discussed. First and foremost, Scowl, stop looking at Twitter. I could just message you, but this is me speaking to you in a public forum. Stop looking at Reddit. Stop looking at Twitter. No disrespect to the Reddit and Twitter people who are now going to be at my fucking neck They don't fucking matter. You don't need to answer nobody. You know what I mean? Like,
that's far beyond that. Yeah.
Can't tell no one is what I literally, I might get a tattoo. You know what? Let's stop at fucking Eugene tomorrow and get a tattoo. Can't tell no one.
Of all places, you want to go to Eugene to get a tattoo?
Andy Rice is tattooing it on Patrick's forehead. You heard it here first.
Listen, I'll get can't tell no one on one side, and Kanye's can't tell me shit on the other. Just ignore. You don't need to fucking justify yourself to people who are, frankly, if they had a valid complaint, they would approach you in a way that didn't involve LOL. You know, like if people who have something real to say to you don't retweet something and go, oh, is this you, LMAO? You know what I mean? That's not real. You don't need to fuck with that. It's just garbage. So, all right, let's address the allegations that Scal was getting killed for I don't know what the fucking the other day, right? They took a tour with A Day to Remember with seven other bands, which weird that you didn't target those other bands, everybody. This is an example of why you've got to be like, I'm not on some, oh, it's misogyny shit. Because I don't even think that's true. I mean, it is true in
the aggregate. It's 100%
true. It's true in the aggregate that people think that, okay, Scal got this opportunity my band didn't get because a woman with green hair. Okay, there's a misogyny to that, but it's really just a baseline resentment that people have for a thing that they think got over that they didn't get over, right? Okay, but my thing here is, yo, if you're not saying it's a pain of truth, don't say it's a scowl. Full stop. I don't want to hear from you. Oh, right. By the way, how funny is our podcast, our weekly podcast, when we go, yeah, you know, pain of truth rips. They got a lot of upward potential, but who's going to take them on tour? And then a day later.
And it was like an hour after the podcast came out, and a bunch of people were like, that was pretty like pressure. I'm like, but I ever thought A Day to Remember was going to be like, yo, Pain of Truth, what's good? Dude, no, they're playing where the fucking devils play, and that's awesome.
Listen.
Did say you did
I
it?
I hope those shows are good for everybody. But here's my point is
keep that energy.
If you're not going to, yes,
keep that energy. Don't and say it to Cat.
Exactly. And it's just, basically, this is why I'm telling Scal not to fucking respond to things. Because when you respond to things, people see it as a green light. Oh, this is the fucker that'll respond. You know what
I
mean?
That's all that people want.
And that is, yes.
But, I mean, we've talked about this before, Patty. They're young folks.
That's true.
They've grown up in the age of, they were, you existed before the internet. Yep. Or was like remotely punk when the internet was like very, very nascent. You know what I mean? Like, do you follow Norman Braden?
I do not.
So he has a Substack, but like he did an interview with Hot Water Music. And like they were talking about these things, which I remember vividly. It was called alt.music.hardcore.
Yep.
Which were like early message boards. And like, they literally had beef. There's a Texas is a reason Hot Water Music beef that existed for 28 years. And when they finally interviewed Jason from Hot Water Music, none of them could actually figure out why they had any beef. But it kind of like, they went back to like, oh yeah, I think one of us said something on the hardcore mess on alt.music.hardcore and all this kind of stuff. So like, you know, the younger folks and bands and stuff, like, they've never existed in a time that it wasn't, you know, the internet wasn't involved in every aspect of their life. So I think it's hard for you to be like, stop reading it. We all fucking read it. You read it.
But Tom. Tom.
But you're also a fucking 67-year-old man that doesn't go, like, if they go, Pat, I watched, you know how now YouTube has these shorts? I watched a short about Drug Church. And it says, watch it, Pat Kinlan from Drug Church kick somebody's beer off the stage. Pat, when I say,
wow,
you moved it off stage, it was an empty beer can. And it was, you moved to 3 feet. There was no malice. There was no aggression. You were just like, let me get it out of the way so Nick doesn't break his ankle on this fucking PBR can.
Listen, I, when my bandmates will start reading some shit, I'll go, don't tell me unless you want me to get mad. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, don't, like, if the, it, like, I would prefer, I live by that AA shit of your opinion of me is none of my business. It's, hey, I don't want to know that shit. Keep it to yourself. I don't give a fuck. And the only time I'll jump out is if you're misrepresenting me in a way that's going to cost me real life things. And then you get me really resentful because then I have to fucking fire up the fucking microphone and go, all right, well, now I got to talk about this. But but before that, you are entitled to think any fucking thing you want. But Tom, here's my point. It goes both ways. There are what are called old heads that are they predate the internet. They predate the internet before me. And they are bad on the internet. They are reading every fucking comment. I think a younger kid actually has the ability to disengage in theoretically better because this is they were born and bred in the briar patch. You know what I mean? Like they got no.
Right. There's a lot of old heads. Like, now you're blocked. You can't read my. You can't access my page anymore.
or I'm gonna crack your head when I see you. Which is I haven't seen that in a couple of years. But that used to be the sign of an old head because there would be some little 21 year old troll that'd be going in, and some pardon me Harley, some Harley esque figure would take the fucking bait and then be like,
didn't that happen last year?
Winston, forgive me, it's all a blur, but it would be like, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm playing St. Paul in 6 months. I'll fucking see you.
You're on
and
the
it's
list,
like,
bro.
He's a troll. He's a fucking troll. There's no reason to do this. Just let him go. He can think or say whatever he wants about your fucking band.
I like the newfound, like, Pat. Like, he's, like, born again. Because this is definitely the dude that's held beefs against people that have had no real, that whatever they were doing or saying really had no impact on his life. He was just like holding some beef and he'd be like, yo, I'm coming to your town. I'll put you on the guest list type shit. And now Pat is like, hey, man, let go, let God. You know what I'm saying?
I have put people on the guest list and I still could do it. I'm not above it, but I'm just saying that when it comes to like the shit that doesn't matter, if somebody is lying about you in a way that is going to harm your future, jump out and either duff them in the face or address it immediately in a forum where you can put a shit on it. That's fine. But if it's just somebody being, let it go.
Forgive all of life's hassles, right?
I have a theory. Let it go.
Let it go.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code AXETOGRIND50 That's numeral 50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AxeToGrind50 at factormeals.com/AxeToGrind50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
You want to hear my theory?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
No. Most newer bands have never had to deal with any kind of
negativity. Like, it's true.
Negativity. And this is not, I'm glad for them. I've read it, I feel like I'm either having deja vu because we've talked about this already, or I've thought about this enough. Like, yo, I've read enough fucking reviews about about Indecision being fat dudes. Like, I get it. Or fucking plotting moshcore. Like, I've fucking read all of them. And they all sucked. Like, to read, whatever.
Rotund rockers.
Yeah, exactly. You probably wrote that in something, you fuck. But I'm saying, I think that's been a huge change, in society at large.
Yes.
That, you I have family, younger nieces and stuff and cousins that, will cry at, things that I'm like, oh, dude, I was a rotund rocker in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, where Marauder came from.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for
me? Yeah, it's funny because we're going both ways. Bob, I'd be curious to hear your perspective. Should a young person be better steeled against this sort of thing, or should an old person be better steeled against this sort of thing?
Well, right. It's Tom put it on both sides, right? There's a good point. One, we all remember, we're right. We're probably the youngest age group, essentially, who can remember a world pre-internet in some form, even though I was pretty young.
I didn't have a computer in my home until I left for, I left the home, I don't think.
Right. We had one, but it was, it's hard to describe what internet connection is like in the 90s to somebody today. It was,
your parents could pick up the phone and fuck up your whole life.
It was closer closer to using a payphone than it is compared to today's internet. Okay, just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, but then there's but younger people that should be numb to it, right? And it's tough because it's tough to tell. You got to remember, young people are new to feelings, and that we've all gotten old and are now number to feelings. So, they're
explain Arlie. Explain Arlie.
He's very young, very very young.
He's a sensitive soul.
An immature human.
Right.
But let me put this out there. A good friend of mine, and this is the advice I give all, Patrick, me and you have had conversations similar to this, but he put it well. He's a tradesperson, does tile work, and he's like, you know what? The best days are when I don't look at my phone when I first wake up, I check my text, but then I get to work and I'm moving. I'm listening to music on the stereo. I'm doing whatever. I'm talking to the dudes I'm working with, whatever. Stop, grab lunch, hang out and talk with my buddies, text my wife, finish up my afternoon, go home, shower. And then I sit down for a second and I look at my phone and I look at whatever. Maybe I check Instagram, I check the internet out, whatever. And then I'm done. And I'm not on there. He's like, but if I check it first thing in the morning, I check it again, and then I check it later on, and then all of a sudden it's a presence in your day. And that's my advice to anyone who feels like they're having a weird negative reaction to things people are saying about them on the internet or things people are saying on the internet in general. I don't care if you're mad about people's opinions on college basketball, the situation in Gaza, or what someone said about the color of your hair, or what you did on stage, or if Jay Mindforce is wearing a backpack or not,
Shout out Jay.
Big shout out Jay. So don't let the internet be a part of your day all day. If it's just something you pick up at the end of the day and read like a magazine for a few minutes while you're on the shitter, that's cool. And it really, I'll tell you what, I've had moments where I'm like, man, this is pulling me down. Hell, even if you got extra time, watch a show. You know, watch TV, watch a video. Don't go on the internet in the ways that we do. You'll just feel better. It's just, you disconnect from it, and it creates the healthy space I think people need with that shit.
I agree with that, but can I talk about an internet topic?
Let's go. We love the internet topics.
Did LDB, Hatebreed, some walk out before? Everybody, here's my confirmation from speaking to people that were at the event. There was significant walkout for Hatebreed. The obituary walkout was overstated.
And the obituary also had Konami keeping people in the room.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about this.
And the show was running late. Not to shoot them any bail. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it was shocking.
No. Okay. Let's get your impression, because I watched. Now LDB is an incredibly fun fest to play. I have not attended it as an attendee, but it's really, really fucking fun to play.
It looks great. It looks like a blast.
Yeah. Full shout out to LDB. Very cool. Weekend looked awesome.
Shout out Colin for putting it all together.
Shout out Sam. Getting
now, all that said, the live stream looks like a Harryhausen fucking Sinbad and the Seven Seas stop motion animation.
What internet were you on?
You gotta remember.
No. Go watch it. So blue light has a really peculiar effect. Photographers will talk about this. Blue light has a peculiar effect on photography. It doesn't allow for certain types of definition, and like that's why photographers hate fiddlehead, right? So there is. And which I got to hit that and ask if that's intentional or not. But basically, it makes it really difficult. You can't fix it. And that's what photographers want to do. They want to be able to fix it after they take the photo. Blue light really impairs that. Now, there was largely blue light hitting the crowd in a lot of these scenes. So there's light being blasted from stage above. But the light hitting the crowd is blue in nature. So what it does is it creates this incredibly stark contrast between foreground and background, so that there's no sort of, I lack the language to explain this. But basically, if you go watch the videos, you'll see a kid step into the stage light and become a different figure altogether. Just go watch it. At any rate,
I did.
What it did was it made it difficult for me to tell if what I was reading on Twitter about Hatebreed not being as lit as it should was the case or not. Tom, please expand.
No, I think it was, there was a lot of walkout after Twitching Tongues. And mind you, I watched most of both days as much as I could, schedule-wise and work-wise. At some point, I couldn't be like fucking off at 2 o'clock on a Friday or 11 o'clock on a Friday when it started. It looked great. To think that someone, and I think it was only one person, handled that stream, and it was at least three different cameras, is pretty
fucking impressive. They nailed it.
Like, it's super impressive that's as a
really
feat, like,
really cool.
You know, like that they're like, here's a mosh part. Like, it was obviously someone who knew what the fuck was going on, because they could be like, all right, so here's the mosh. I'm gonna switch so we can get the crowd, or I'm gonna get the sing-alongs, whatever.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying is I feel like the video put everybody I thought it looked good. You know what I mean? But other people,
I mean, dude, there were fucking
telling me no.
Thousands of people there. There were thousands of people there. So like, if you look past, the only thing was up front, it was a little bare for a lot of the bands. And
that's the edge of a horseshoe.
Well, of course, but it wasn't like that for everybody.
Mm.
You know? Mind Force, there's a billion people up front singing along and moshing.
Yes.
Fiddlehead, obviously. Koyo, One Step Closer, Anxious, had a bunch of people up front. Hatebreed, the set list was awesome.
It was awesome. I mean, dude, when you said it to me, I was like, You should have stayed for the very end.
Bring out Sean Martin. They do fucking all the perseverance. Like, watching that and just knowing, like, yo, half, like, everybody but the Coyos and the Once the Closest of the world would literally not be in existence without this band.
Yep.
Like, you watch that band, you're like, oh, everybody, whether they know it or not, owes their fucking life to this band. Like,
mm-hmm.
the fast parts, the mosh parts, the this, that, they sounded fucking awesome. They played all the fucking hits. They did stuff off Under the Knife. They did, like, a little bit of everything. They didn't get too heavy on, like, the latter-day shit that, like, I mean, yep. Like, there's a song called Looking Down the Barrel of Today, which is very, like, you know.
Listen.
Serious XL. It's their biggest song. By fourfold.
And it half sucks for sure.
But then it comes in and you're like, this song kind of rules.
Yeah, I love it.
But it's a hit like for like when they're playing the fucking racetracks. That's right. A fucking right. Genre song.
Yeah, right.
Nobody
right.
wants to hear fucking Kill an Addict when you're the guy that's there right. to see fucking Godsmack. You know the Looking Down the Barrel of Today song. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I thought they were awesome. But just watching like younger folks like It really kind of showed the divide that, you know, people were just like, I don't need to see this. Or like, because there was walk out during the set. Like, I don't know how a Hatebreed set starts and you're not like, even if you're brand new to it. Like, I've seen people talk about like, oh, it's the first time I ever listened to fucking Obituary. They're pretty dope. Like, that's cool.
Yep.
But I can't imagine being sure. there and being 18 to fucking to my age and Hatebreed starting and be like, yeah, you know what? I've seen enough. Like, yeah, those songs, fucking Satisfaction, to this day, you can put that on and be like, this fucking record is incredible. This is, I mean, I always joked that, and it became like a thing that it was like, this was the age of Quarrel for our generation. And it's, I could
yeah.
say Age of Quarrel beyond, I mean, everyone ruined it, but like, those songs, like, I could put on fucking, you know, Survival of the Streets and still want to go fucking run through all
that's right yeah
you know what I'm saying like
okay
these songs are so great but like I couldn't imagine being like I love Tsunami, I love King Nine, I love Twitching Tongues and watching Hatebreed start and be like but I don't like this.
Well Tom, I'm gonna shoot the kids bail in this
and I'm not disrespecting it. I'm just saying like it was just shocking to see because I feel like they're the one band that I feel like anybody at that fest would be like yo this band's sick. The other thing, you know, me and Mercado were live tweeting to each other about, well, because we were watching, because the weather was shitty in New York Friday and Saturday, so we were home watching it. Like, he was like, yeah, like, dude, all of the people that we know are all in bands, and none of those dudes are moshing.
Yep.
Those men and women are standing on the side of the stage, or in the backstage area, or at the merch. Like, I mean, I could literally pick out the faces of the people moshing. It was nobody... for the most part, that were, you know, like, nobody that we would have known.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say, now, I mean, I wouldn't be moshing either. So, like, I'm not putting any shame on the bands. But, yeah. like, a lot of those people that are in bands, like, once you get in a band and you're, like, an established band, it's, you're less likely to mosh. I don't know why that is, but it's inherent in being, the only dude that's still, Tyler from fucking Inclination, still moshes like a lunatic, even though he's in a band that's relatively established.
Hmm. And I mean, everybody gets the it. Everybody gets the itch, like
yeah, for like a song or two, or yeah.
The band Tries, the Albany band, did an Ink and Dagger cover, and mm-hmm. I was in the green room, and I stood up and I said no, I sat back down, but I was very excited for a moment, and it almost got me. But okay, here's what I want to talk about. Is it just sometimes, you know, age is undefeated? You know, is that what it is? Or should there be a greater effort? What Jay Mindforce was saying on stage did not come off old head to me, but then again, maybe I am now that. When he was saying history is important, you know what I mean? You listen to the Cro-Mags. Listen to these bands. And it was... Is that a message, not to get too far up our hardcore asses here and fucking pontificate too much, but is that maybe something that is being, like, it's always lost. Like, you know, it's always
oh, sure.
a little bit, but as we talk, but I mean, let's be honest. it gets lost, but one of my first records was Minor Threat, and that was that band had been broken up for a long time. like a long time.
I mean, but how long before you got into them? 10 years? 15 years? You're talking about fucking... Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a band that's literally touring off on their 30th anniversary.
I get it, but I'm just saying...
I'm a 2-year-old kid. I'm like, why would I... I get that, but I can't imagine being there and seeing that and being like, either I'm too fucking tired and I need to go home, or be like,
okay, Tom,
this is not for me.
Here's where I was going to shoot them bail. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Most Precious Blood played a show with Converge and Hatebreed. Is that correct?
Yes. A few, actually.
Okay, I was at that. I don't think I was at the Albany one because it wasn't a venue I remember from Albany. It was, where'd you play in New York?
We didn't play the New York show, but we played Albany at Northern Lights, and we played The Chance.
Oh, maybe it was The Chance. It was The Chance. So, I
like
fell asleep.
Well, and yeah.
I think I fell asleep under your merch table, and that's just because Hatebreed played for a long time. So I think that I am, I can't slam the kids too hard, but I found it really fascinating because these things come in waves, as we've seen. Cro-Mags were, a band that mattered to a lot of people, but then became a cause du jour for a generation of kids that had never seen them, right?
Right.
They became a point of reference, and Hatebreed is obviously not in that part of their career. But has that already happened, or is that going to happen again?
I think they are, because I think if you talk to anybody else, if you talk to fucking J Mindforce, you talk to Dan from King Nine, you talk from Kyle of Twitching Tongues, or fucking Joseph Tsunami, they'd all be like, yo, Hatebreed is a fucking, and younger or older, whatever, like, they're all like, yo, it starts and ends with Hatebreed for almost anybody in one of those bands.
Correct. Sure. Here's the one thing I'll ask, too. We would all agree, and LDB might be different, because I have been told that, like, there's a lot of new kids at that show.
Very young.
So, this might actually lend it. How many times do you think you've seen Hatebreed, Tom?
I mean...
Over 20?
20, yeah, easily.
Like, right? Patrick, how many times have you seen Hatebreed? Probably less than that, but still over 10, probably?
No, I would say between 5 and 10.
Yeah, I'm probably there, and, I'm never someone who went out of my way to see them, and I still saw them that many times, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, listen, they were a touring... They were it. They were, like, the most... In a lot of ways, they were the fucking touring... Oh my God! This is the band that does it. That was them.
So if they were one of your bands, that you were like, yo, no, I go see Hatebreed every time. There's a chance people were there who had seen Hatebreed. This is time number 25, 30,
possible. Yeah.
And I just want to say, in hardcore, there's a draw to. Yo, I'm going to mosh for Tsunami because this is the second time I saw him. And I was excited. And I love Hatebreed. And if you ask me who do I like more, Hatebreed or Tsunami, I like Hatebreed more. But this is the first time I saw Tsunami, I'm going to go off. So that's part, if we were going to say what are the reasons why. Two, because we said this about that, is it possible that there are young kids, and this goes to what Jay was saying, that there are young kids who are familiar with the Tsunamis of the world, Pain of Truths of the world, who are less familiar with the Hatebreeds of the world, with the Madballs of the world? I would argue yes.
Yes,
100%.
I would say what I would say also, in the way hardcore goes, secularly, like a roller coaster up and down, there are times when there is more of a reverence for the things that came before and times where there's less. And right now we're kind of in a time where things are hot. There's a lot of current bands. We said it a lot on this podcast. This is the scratch off mega window where it's like, What scratch-off card do you like? We got them all. That's hardcore right now. You like Crust? Here you go. Poison Rune. You want the Oi thing? Cool. What do you want? You want it more melodic? You want it a little tougher? You pick. You like dirty punk and hardcore? We got a whole rack over here. You know, like there's something for everyone. But as kind of a downside of that, there isn't the need for people to seek backwards, to look backwards and make the backwards glance and go, yeah, you know what? Let me sit with Persevere. Let me sit with, you know, Under the Knife. Let me sit with all these records. Let me sit with Age of Quarrel. Let me sit with, you know, Demonstrate My Style, because they have so much right now. That's a good thing.
But those records sound timeless to me.
Totally agree.
Like, they're not,
but
like,
they don't.
I can see not liking Youth of Today because Can't Close My Eyes sounds like it was recorded on a fucking boombox.
It's not about the sound. It's just that there's so much
now.
Right now that they don't need to. Patrick, you got into more hardcore from the past when the hardcore that was happening in the present wasn't scratching your itch, correct?
That's correct.
I think that's true for a lot of people.
I have two
Not
questions.
For everyone. What's that?
I'm sorry. Sorry.
No. But
I have two questions for you.
Please. Because I also think different places, when I got into stuff, like the stuff I was into, there was a lot. There was a good amount of it. But it was also the kind of world where it's like, yeah, like there's covers at every single show. If you don't know the Gorilla Biscuits cover, you look like the new kid. What are you doing? You have to know that song. What are you doing? You don't know Turning Point? What are you doing? You don't know Burn? Like that stuff was kind of, and right now that's not the energy, which is kind of good, but also give it some time and check these things out and there's value. So I think that's what Jay was saying with the history, whether it's Marauder, whether it's, you know,
yeah,
whatever the history is that you want to say.
And he has a way of doing it, and he has such a vibe that he doesn't come off as pedantic and like talking to people.
That's correct. Know your roots.
That could come from somebody else, and you look like a fucking asshole. But he has a way. Check it out.
Back to Harley. Back to Harley, who does the worst job that I've ever seen more current in life.
Even more current people. Tom, what were your questions?
So two things. I don't know if did you watch the new podcast with LeBron and JJ Redick?
I saw big parts of that. I thought it was fantastic.
It's fucking incredible. I thought of you as soon as it came on because I was like, this is so nerdy. Bob's going to love it.
I love it. Yes.
Because, he asks LeBron what makes a great basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron, his number two was knowing your history. And he was like, I would not be where I was. What'd you say, Pat?
That's a Mike Tyson take.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Right. He was like, I would not be here without Oscar Robertson. I would not be here without, you know, Bill Ward, Bill Russell, and this and that and the next. And he was just like, you know, their work in various ways, in social, and then they talked about, like, there was no free agency until
the late '60s.
Goodrich or something. Like,
there was no free agency till, yeah. Till there was a push, and I think Gail Goodrich basically sued for his right to choose the team he played for. That's right.
And then there was like a thing that it was like, you know, you couldn't anybody, if you lost somebody in free agency, you had to get reimbursed with picks.
That's right. Yep.
And like it wasn't until the late '80s was when you could a person could leave for free agency and the team that lost them.
There was no reciprocity to them. That's
John Konkak was the first one.
Is that crazy?
But that made me think about hardcore and rap, because I feel in hip hop there's a lot of like that sort of stuff that there's no looking back. But like LeBron's like, yeah, that's how you become. And I think the bands that are the best at it are the ones that have a full, you know, view of their craft. Number one.
That's
number
really two, good.
And this is more fest booky kind of thing.
Mm.
And me and Morgana were talking about this. I feel like fests, and not LDB's fault, fests in general, when they kind of go outside their like normal circle,
mm-hmm.
they somehow don't draw in the people.
Yeah,
for the bands that are outside the circle, like, you know, say Hatebreed now, say Obituary. Like Obituary was cool; they sounded great. They probably won over a ton of people that never saw them before.
Sure.
Yeah, but
you know, Obituary in Louisville draws 500 people. There were not 500 people there going nuts for Obituary.
That's right.
Hatebreed.
That's right.
Hatebreed probably draws almost as many people as they were there at the festival, or close, maybe not 3,000 people, but like whatever it is. Hatebreed might do 1,500 kids in Louisville, or, you know, if that's the only, you know, there's no Ohio show, there's no this show, there's no that, right?
Right.
There were no Hessians up front fucking moshing for fucking Obituary.
That's right.
It was only the hardcore kids there that knew who they were.
That's right.
But yeah, I think
who are going to attend that festival regardless. 100%.
Right. Right. So, like, what do you think that's something that Fest should, like, when they are trying to get, you know, like, Dying Fetus, they were all hardcore kids moshing for Dying Fetus.
Right.
Yep.
But they don't, like, kind of bring in those outside folks that, like, that might, if they might go and fucking love what they're seeing.
Yep.
Or they might, you know, or you won't have. I watched Obituary kind of like white knuckling it, being like, yo, I hope this doesn't suck.
Right. Yeah. Like,
they're
like
legends. And like, yep. I know what it feels like to be up there when it's like, oh, fuck, we're the old dudes at the party. This shit sucks.
Yep.
And like,
I'm the dude at this party. All these people know each other and I don't. But they kind of know who I am, but nobody's talking to me. Damn.
Right. And that's what it felt like. Watch. I was like, please don't be like that. And I mean, don't get me wrong. People were into it. People moshed. But like, when I think of Obituary, I'm thinking like, it's going to be a fucking bloodbath. It was not a bloodbath. But I feel like, do you think Fest should do more to, you know, kind of loop in these, you know, are they reaching outside the hardcore circle to get people
to come into the Fest? So you're asking a fantastic question. Yes. So you basically ask yourself the question, am I booking Obituary because I want Obituary to come and play to the people who are already coming to LGB?
Right. My friends.
This is a cherry for them.
Right.
Cool. Which means you're not, it might be really cool for the band or it might not. You probably are compensating them well to do this thing that's outside of their norm. And they hopefully have some reciprocal, like, oh, that does seem kind of cool. We do want to, we'll try that. That seems fun. Let's try that out.
Yeah.
Right. But you understand then that you're not expecting average Obituary fan to come to your hardcore fest. Or two, you said, hey, I want, and we're using Obituary. We'll use them as the example. They are purely a monolith in this example. We're booking Obituary because we want to get their metalhead fans to our show. We want to get the death metal fans because we think there'll be Obituary fans who could vibe on band X and band Y and band Z. If you're doing that. So from a booking promoter fester dude thing, here's my perspective. If you're doing I'm booking this because I want people to who are coming to this to see this because it's nice.
Yeah.
Cool. You have no expectation that they're adding to the draw because you're drawing based on what the festival is, what its meat and potatoes is. It's fine. You low-key might be doing a disservice to the band if the reaction is underwhelming. You low-key might be limiting it. You might be pushing people away because... Then if you want number two, if you want to book big band from outside that lane, you want to book the big metal band who, when they come to town, they're drawing 800 people and you're going, man, love to get 400 of them over to our fest. You can't just book one. You can't just book big metal band and expect that half their audience is going to come to your hardcore fest where everyone who's going is looking at the line and going, man, I love big metal band, but I don't know any of these other bands.
Right.
And you're asking me how much to pay for this thing? Yeah. Oh, what's the one?
I don't know how much it costs. I don't
know. Me neither. And we're making up, you know.
Right.
You know.
Obituary show is probably $45.
Yeah.
On their own.
Yeah. Punxsutawney Fest here. Oh my God, it's big metal bands playing Punxsutawney Fest. There's a bunch of hardcore bands. And I don't know any of them. And the ticket is $100 for a 2-day pass or $65 for a 1-day. I go see them for $35 when they play the, you know, Punxsutawney Arena. I'm not going to go to this. I'll skip this one. Here's the trick. If you're going to do that, you have to have a blend. And I say this not just for the big band, but for when you move outside of the lane. We booked Despise You at Sound and Fury 2009, I believe.
Right.
But I'm not going to book Despise You and just have them be the only band of that ilk on the show. I had a few other bands. So my goal was always that with Fest, that anyone who was going, who was more niche-y, who was like, hey, I like this style, that there was going to be 5, 6, 7 bands they'd want to see. And that they could pick out from a lineup. You know what I mean? Like, so that's hard. It's hard to do that math, but it starts to, like, oh, well, I like Judas, and I like Mind Eraser, and I like Despise You, and, oh, this band I kind of wanted to check out, and maybe there's a couple other things that are fringe. Nails, that's some new thing that I'm supposed to check out. Mammoth Grinder, okay, yeah, okay, now I got 5 bands that I want to see at this thing.
Right.
That's worth my time. Maybe I still think Trash Talk's lame and Guns Up, ew, who would think, listen to that? But guess what? The kid who's coming for Guns Up is going, here's my 5, 7, 10 bands that I want to see. And all that said, is that is where you get the cross-pollination. That is where you get to see on a festival lineup. And why, if you want, where we could really go down a hole, which I won't, why I'm a huge believer in mixed days. You don't have the day that is, here's our metalcore day, here's our straight edge day, here's our old school day. You don't do that, because then people just go to that and go, I'm not going to this. I'm going to go home. I don't want to see straight edge day. I want to see metalcore day, you know?
Right, right.
But that's where you get cross-pollination, because, like, oh, shit, I came here because I love Trash Talk, but I've heard that Mind Eraser band, and that band's cool. But, man, this Despise You band that people are talking about, let me watch this. Oh, that was really cool. You know,
and then the Fell to Lows of the world and other stuff.
This all this stuff. You just, that is the beauty of a hardcore festival or a festival at large. Like, I won't just limit it to hardcore, but like a festival that's doing it right has the right balance of cross pollination, where there's people who are coming to see, who it's like, hey, my main draw is this band, but I also am willing to spend the money on the ticket because there's these other bands I like and want to see. And then there's a few bands that maybe I'm curious about. And then there's bands I'm open to. That's where it comes from. With LDB, like I'm saying, I'm looking at that Fest. There are any number of bands on that lineup that an obituary fan, especially in 2024, could vibe on. Are they on their radar? Maybe not.
Right.
Maybe,
I mean, like Gates to Hell and San Guisigo Bog were both bands that have done death metal tour, big tours and stuff like that, but like, is the standard, you know.
You need a couple more in there. Yeah. What else do you need in there? Because, like, what are the other bands that if I'm going to pay whatever, and I hate to make it about money, but a ticket price matters for somebody attending a festival.
Yeah.
If you want to get those extra 400 bodies, what are the other things that are going to appeal to them, but also not make it feel like it doesn't fit on your festival?
Right. You're getting random death metal band Oz.
Stupid.
Just to show, yeah.
Right, but I was, yeah.
Like, I mean, does that, like, and maybe, I mean, and we're in just such tight circles that may not actually matter in the grand scheme of things, but, like, was the Hatebreed brand, like, you know, hurt from
doing this?
Happened on Friday. Because it's on the internet immediately.
Right, right. Well,
yeah, I don't know.
Does that hurt their brand? Because people were like, I was expecting this to be a fucking war zone. And it was, you know, two rows of people singing along.
Well, so how do I put this without, I'm not Jimmy Plugged In Music Biz Guy, but what I will tell you is Jimmy Plugged In Music Biz Guy is going, eh, don't worry about that. That's one of them hardcore fests. Everybody there is just excited for the hype band, and Hatebreed's a veteran. This isn't their crowd, blah, blah. They can excuse away that easily. In a way that's kind of demeaning to the hardcore fest, to be very fucking frank, because that's like, to me, life's blood. Like, this is where these bands start to do really cool things. You start to see cool energy. So I think there's an easy way for the biz pro to hand wave those complaints away. Could someone try to take shots? Sure, but I think it'd be hard.
Yeah, I think you got plausible deniability. You know, it's not for them, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I got to go, fellas, but I would like to tell two quick stories before I go, if that's okay.
Let's go. Give it to us.
And so Alkaline Trio has a very diverse fan base in terms of its reach across punk subcultures. Like there's kind of gothy kids, there's kind of maybe proto pop punk kids in some ways, and then there's also like the Murder City Devil looking kid, and a skinhead just walked by, proper skinhead, with kind of the, you know, the full look, right? And he's also fit, and as he, you know, broad shoulder sort of fucking guy, doing the thing fully, and he walks by, and his pants are so well tailored that I go, damn, that skinhead's got a hell of an ass. That is a fucking butt on that skinhead right there. So then, oh, that's, yeah, story one.
You can bounce story a quarter. Through,
yeah. Story two is, Bob, you have met my friend Dan. I've known him since high school. You may or may not remember. He is a great guy. Also, because he'll never listen to this, I could say he's a bit of a problem drinker. Sure. And he has taken terrible, terrible care of himself. And he has gout at the moment.
Oh, Jesus.
And
Christ.
He was,
all right,
he was going to come to this show tonight. Where have either of you been to Crystal Ballroom?
I have not.
Okay. So if you go look it up, it
this
has
big Menemans or whatever the fuck?
It is.
It's a hotel, wasn't it?
It has, well, it used to be, it was the squatters' location for like 10 years after it shut down. But it was built, I think, in like the, you know, New Deal sort of, like, you know, like let's make dance halls.
Sure, 1914, and, yeah.
And as a result, it has maybe the last, they're not sure, but it seems to be the last sprung floor in the United States. Original,
wow,
sprung floor.
Wow.
One sprung floor. So, Tom, do you know what that is?
I do not.
Okay, so there's now the ways that they do them are very different than the ways that they did it at this time, but this has the classic flooring, which is wood that is interlaced in such a specific way that you basically get an athlete's flooring. You could do gymnastics on it because this wooden floor gives.
It's like basketball courts, like proper, like it,
yes,
it's designed to, you jump on it and it feels better.
You
like
you
know,
give.
Yep. Floating.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, it's very strange. It feels like a super taut trampoline.
Well, yeah, this old style, it's, yeah, you can feel it when you walk on it. It's like you all of a sudden, yes, you're not like, it's like walking on the moon, but it's like, wait, did the gravity just change a little bit? Like I'm like, boom, you feel it a little.
That's right. So this friend of mine who has the gout, who is on crutches right now because he has the gout, was going to come to this show. And for people who don't know what gout is, really briefly, it's uric acid that crystallizes within your musculature so that every time you move, amounts to broken glass is moving and cutting within your muscles. It is unbelievably painful by everybody's report. And he kind of, I didn't give him like the cold shoulder, but I was kind of trying to suggest he does not come to this show where there's going to be, you know, 1600 kids jumping up and down on this trampoline floor.
it was so much pain. It's, oh my God, dude.
But anyway, that's the second story. I got to run, but I will speak to you fellas soon.
Shout out Hardcore World. We love you.
Peace.